Hi, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680, as we get ready for baseball today. The Giants and the Padres coming up, joined by the philosopher of baseball. That is Nick Hundley. Nick, how are you?
Hey, Marty, what's going on?
Well, my goodness, a lot going on. First of all, we're here in June. And, you know, I always say in June you kind of figure out who you are. But for this ball club, I don't know if you know yet because you got so many people. 6 to 8 weeks, that's a new motto.
Yeah, I got a lot of guys either coming back or just going on the shelf, but you know, we're grinding through it, and we got a lot of guys that that are competing like crazy, and we're hanging in there. So it's nice to be in June, and the weather start warming up a little bit. It's nice.
Well, the starting pitching has been very, very impressive, and I think it's over 3 weeks now that the young kids, and I'll put Holland in there just because he hasn't been here before, but for Suarez and Rodriguez and Holland and Block in the bullpen, these pitchers really have carried the burden here for a few weeks now, kind of quietly.
They have. You know, they've done a really good job. Ty, Stratt, Andy, and D-Rod, I mean, this is an organization that has really relied on starting pitching and veteran starting pitching in the past to win a lot of ball games, to win World Series, and to take a little a 180, and with our guys, our veteran guys being on the shelf a little bit, they've done a great job keeping us in it.
Yeah, all right. What about Rodriguez? I want to get your thoughts about him. He's a son of a major leaguer, not just a major leaguer, but probably one of your idols watching. That's Pudge Rodriguez, a catcher, Hall of Famer. What's it like being around Derek Rodriguez and knowing that Pudge is sitting behind the screen watching a pitch?
Yeah, that was funny. Seeing him in Miami right behind home plate, you know, you can say all you want, you don't notice him. But, yeah, he's got a real big presence in the game and obviously a real big presence in Derek's life. So that's real cool to have him around. And he's obviously grown up in the clubhouses and been around, and he knows exactly how to conduct himself. And it's like he's not a rookie, you know, just because he's been around the big league lifestyle for so long. But you know, he's done a great job for us, giving us, I think, 5-6 quality starts. So we're definitely looking forward to more from him.
You talked to Pudge at all?
No, I haven't. But you know, he's got his thing going too, and you know, obviously it's really cool. I bet to be able to watch your son pitch in the big leagues and be there for that. So it's got to be a great time in their lives.
Well, he sat there for 16 innings.
Yeah, I bet he was happy he wasn't catching.
Well, let me ask you this, Nick Hundley with us. If you could ask Pudge a question about catching or about life or about whatever, what would you ask him?
I'd ask him a lot of questions, but I mean, I'd ask him first how his body feels now after catching that many games. I mean, obviously, he played a long time and caught a lot of games, so how he's feeling now, and then I'll probably talk to him about some throwing stuff, and obviously, he threw the ball really well, so I'd probably pick his brain on the things he did the best.
You know, you're 34 now and in great shape, and I'm going to bring it up because you did the mad dash around the bases the other day. And, you know, every team needs that spiritual leader, so to speak, or someone who performs on the field that people go, wow, and it may be hitting 3 home runs in a game or something like you did the other day. So I thought it was an interesting thing for those who didn't see it. I'm going to let you describe it.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I played at Arizona, and Andy Lopez was the head coach there, and I loved playing for him. But he always talked about, in base running, you think in twos. So when you're at home plate, you're thinking about second base. When you're at first, you're thinking about third, and so on. So when I hit the ball, maybe long single, stretch double, I'm always thinking in twos. So I'm going to try to put pressure on those guys and get to second base. And then the throw, the play was right in front of me, so I saw the throw coming in. I thought it was going to hit me in the face, so I put my hand up and hit me in the hand and bounced off. And, you know, you got to make a quick decision and go. And, but I've always, you know, especially with the lead, you want to err on the side of aggression, you know. So I don't ever want to make mistakes out of fear or out of anxiety to not perform. You know, I want to make mistakes out of aggression. So if I get thrown out of third there, I get thrown out of third. But I'm going to be aggressive with it.
Well, you did a good belly flop into third, I'll tell you that.
Sliding is not my best, my strongest suit. Never has, probably never will.
Well, how often do you slide? I think that may have been the first time I've ever seen you slide.
I don't slide head first very often. I'm more of a feet first guy, but that one, I think my momentum was going, so I had to just kind of fall over and land at third.
Well, it was, as you can tell, fans, a hustle double causing a bad throw, and then little league taking off for third and diving into third. What would Otis say to you?
Good job. You know, he said, I obviously not playing every day. I have to provide energy. I mean, guys out there grinding every day like Craw and Buster and Belter. When I'm out there, I got to provide energy. My legs are fresh. I'm ready to go. So that in my role, I have to bring that energy every game that I'm playing, and that's what these guys expect out of me. So it manifested itself in that play, but, you know, my goal is to bring that energy whether I get hits or not.
It's good. No, it's good stuff. This has been a tough first half, and, again, you're a philosopher to take us through the season, but as a player, all those road trips, those three-city road trips, and my goodness, now coming home 20 of 26 at home, we say that so often, but what a beginning, huh?
Yeah, that probably 6-week stretch was as much as I've ever been on the road in my career at any point. I think we played 36 days out of 50 on the road, something like that. It was long, but at the same time, we battled through it, and now we're here, and we played with a lot of confidence here. We played really well at home, and we need to continue that.
What's it like playing in Miami? San Francisco teams have had trouble in Miami for years. I grew up in Miami. I remember teams would come in to play the Dolphins, and the Raiders would come, and there would be trouble. There's always something about Miami. I don't know. Is it the atmosphere? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's no excuse not winning, but, you know, indoor – not a lot of energy in the park. Definitely about 180 degree difference from playing at AT&T Park, you know, in terms of the weather and the atmosphere. But at the same time, that's what makes the big league so cool. I mean, you go all over the country, you play the best people in the world every single day, yeah. And you line it up and see who's better. And in Miami, they were better than we were. Flat out. So, yeah, we don't go back there, obviously, this year during the regular season. But if we go back there next year, we got to find a way to play better.
How deflating is it to lose a lead? Now, you guys lost like 9 leads. Just as a person, as a player, what does it do to you?
You know, we're resilient enough to bounce back from it. We know that it's a 9-inning game. You don't you never. You know, settle on a lead late in the game. You always want to add on and grow. And losing leads is part of the game. You know, if we lose a lead in the eighth inning, there's 7 other innings of baseball that we could have added on to the lead or gotten made plays earlier than that. So it never really comes down to one play at the end of the game. Because, you know, if it did, we'd just play one inning and call it a game.
Well, Bryce Harper says just play 7 innings and call it a game. He'd like to do that.
Yeah, is he going to pay for all the bullpen guys that don't have jobs?
It's funny. You and I have talked about this a lot, and you always angle that way, and you're right, because a lot of the changes of baseball do affect the players who play it.
Yeah, exactly. And we as a union need to be uniform, and we need to do our discussing behind closed doors and not through the media. So when that happens out in the media, it definitely weakens our stance. I'm pretty sure owners and the Major League Baseball hear every single thing that we say. So we need to do a better job of controlling our narrative.
Rob Manfred talked a lot this week about the type of game we have today. You don't see balls in play. You're a catcher. You don't see hit and runs. You don't see a lot of stealing today. You don't see a lot of bunting today. The game has changed. What do you think about that?
I love it. I mean, the game is being played at a really, really high level. You know, I think the things that teams want to see in terms of youth and velocity and energy, obviously with things being taken out of the game for the right reasons, it's harder to play this game on an everyday basis. Teams are going to a younger demographic of players on the field, and it's manifesting itself on the field and how it's being played.
Well, you see a lot of shifting. That's one that's come up quite a bit. And how do you feel about that? Should they do away with the shift?
I mean, for me, I think I've said it before, but I would limit the amount of infielders and the amount of outfielders you have. And if you want to shift, you can shift. You can play wherever you want, but you can't play a second baseman or shortstop in the outfield, and you can't play an outfielder in the infield. So you can have three outfielders. You're starting to see infielders go out and play the outfield more and more, and these shifts where the second baseman's playing short right.
Yeah.
I would do away with that.
Yeah, no, you're right. You've been consistent. I want to tell you, you have a very good stump speech on this, as they like to say. All right, Nick, with us here. Then the other thing we talk about is the brushbacks and Strickland and hitting his hand and all that. So it's kind of, I guess, started in Miami with Longoria getting hit. And again, as a major league player, you watch Longoria getting hit. Do you think? Did he do it on purpose? Do you just assume he didn't? How do you process it?
No, I mean, obviously Straley didn't hit him on purpose in Miami, like he hit Buster on purpose. But at the same time, one of our best players is out for 2 months because you can't control the ball. So there needs to, obviously it's a difficult situation. Now, he's not trying to hit somebody, hurt somebody, but if you can't execute inside, you might as well not throw there. And they threw a lot of balls close to us in the series in Miami and here.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where you note it and you remember it and you move on.
Well, do you note it and remember it and throw it closer to them?
Depends on the situation. Depends on who's out there. Depends on who can command the ball and who can't.
Okay. All right. Well, the other part of that, and it's been well publicized all week, was Brinson and getting the hit off Strickland down in Miami and, the sacrifice fly and whatever base hit and here that he got. You're a baseball player and you're 34 years old. You love the color of the game. You understand the demographics. Is that where we're at? People should be able to express how they feel as a hitter or as a pitcher?
I think you can express how you feel with your teammates as much as you want. When you cross the line and express how you feel towards the opposing team, then there's going to be repercussions for that.
All right. Well said. All right. And that's where we ended up. And then, of course, you've been around the game long, and so have I. But players always get upset. Sometimes, as Bruce Bochy said, Kevin Brown used to rearrange the bathroom. They throw sunflower seeds, and they attack the water cooler. It's sort of part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a... No, I've never got upset before. No, yeah, many times. I mean, this is a difficult game, a frustrating game at times. It's an amazing game at times, but, the ebbs and flows of the performance and how hard it is to be consistently good, bodes for those things to happen every now and then. Obviously it's not the first time that somebody's gotten hurt out of anger, and it won't be the last.
Well, what do you say to Strickland? How do you approach him?
We say that this relationship we have with our teammates and him isn't based on conditions. We love him no matter what. Obviously, we'd rather have him out there than on the DL. But at the same time, we're not going to change our opinion of him just because he made a mistake.
All right. Good answer. All right. One last thought for you. The Philly Fanatic goes around and shoots hot dogs in this. I don't know if you saw this one. Shoots hot dogs in the stands.
Yeah.
Do you see this? It hit a woman in just below the eye with one of these wrapped-up hot dogs, and she doesn't want to sue because she's a Philly fan. And it's one of those things at the ballpark. I guess my question to you is, when you see this stuff going on, you see Lucille shooting T-shirts around and all the stuff that goes on, you ever think, boy, people better be careful?
I think I'm more shocked at how excited people will get for a free $3 hot dog or a free $2 T-shirt. But it's part of the game. It's fun for, mascots have been awesome for the game. My daughter loves the Philly Fanatic and Dinger and Lucille and all of the awesome mascots. So it's a fun part of the game. And obviously, I mean, the game's been played for 100 years, and I think this is the first time you're hearing somebody with a hot dog injury. hopefully she's all right, but I'm glad she's taking it in stride.
What is your favorite mascot?
My favorite mascot? Yeah. Got to be Lucille now.
Okay.
Whoever's paying the bills.
As he always says, that's why he's the philosopher. Nick, great having you on as always. I look forward to it every couple of weeks as we go through this season. It's a grind, and here we are in June still talking about it, so it's been pretty good.
Yeah, thanks, Marty. I appreciate it, man.
Very good. Getting to know Nick Hundley. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.